Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we?
Shall we begin?
Well, today I'm going to share with you both a harm and a charm, or maybe two. But first, let's tackle today's question, and that is, would you share your genes with a stranger? No, not your pants, but rather your DNA, your genes, G-E-N-E-S. You know, the stuff you are made of. Well, here's a privacy alert. Want a job and privacy? Congress is on the verge of making us choose one or the other, as it paves the way for employers to access both our private medical history and our genetic information. Here's how it went down. House Bill H.R. 1313, dubbed the Preserving Employee Wellness Programs Act, was introduced by Representative Virginia Fox out of North Carolina and would allow employers to request genetic data from workers and their family members if the workers want their health insurance covered. It wouldn't be mandatory, but those who refuse could see their health costs rise by up to 50%. Basically, hand over your genes or hand over your wallet. Genetic information is protected under the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. But this new legislation would put an end to these protections. The bill's fact sheet says this, quote, "Preserving wellness programs and ensuring employers have the legal certainty they need to help lower healthcare costs for workers must be part of the process of repealing Obamacare and replacing it with patient-centered solutions," unquote. Let me stop to lodge a complaint. I am so sick of hearing the term patient-centered solutions. First of all, what does that even mean? And secondly, who is making that determination to say what is or isn't a patient-centered solution? It's like calling technology smart. Call it a smart meter or a smartphone, and it must be great. Call it patient center, and by golly, I'm going to believe it because the words tell me that it's good for me. Ugh. Back to the bill. There's an increasing amount of genetic testing being done to check if people have the likelihood of getting certain types of diseases, and you see those advertised all over the place on television, 23andMe and so on. Such tests can be useful for doctors who could keep a check on possible early symptoms, but now employers want to get in on this data. Employers would be able to coerce employees into providing their genetic and health information and that of their families, even their children. And since the majority of Americans who have health insurance get it through their employers, companies are taking an increasingly intrusive line that can also include lifestyle questionnaires and weight loss clinics. The Preserving Employee Wellness Programs Act, again, H.R. 1313, allows employee wellness programs to be tied to financial incentives and gives employers what they call and want legal certainty. First of all, what business is it of any employer to reward employees for doing anything that doesn't pertain to their specific actions at work? Employers will now have legal certainty. I'm not a lawyer, but all I can say to that is, wow. This act undermines protections that consumers won under two earlier laws that I mentioned, the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. So here's how the new bill works. Obamacare incentivized the growth of workplace wellness programs, which typically involve the collection of certain medical data on employees who opt into the program. In exchange for their participation in these programs, employees received sizable discounts on their insurance premiums, in some cases, as I mentioned, up to 50%. Well, the new bill expands the information that employers can demand from their employees to take part in wellness programs and receive those insurance discounts. For example, under the previous law, employers can only access anonymous data about their employees' health. The new bill allows companies to ask for workers' personal information, including the results of genetic tests. The old law stipulates that wellness programs could not ask about an employee's family medical history. The new bill does away with that restriction for those who opt into workplace wellness programs. The Americans with Disabilities Act says, employers cannot ask their employees to undergo a medical history or certain medical examinations unless that request is made through a voluntary wellness program. Well, with the proliferation of wellness programs following Obamacare, there was a debate as to the legality of the collection of this data, but the new bill basically bars legal challenges to this. The new bill also does not explicitly rule out the application of these rules to employment candidates, nor does it provide protections for those currently employed, who could see their careers stalled or perhaps terminated based on these test results and based on their refusal to provide their employers with this information. Of additional concern, as those at the National Vaccine Information Center have pointed out, is that this bill could coerce employees in wellness programs to be vaccinated in order to receive the insurance discounts or ultimately to keep their jobs. A vaccination requirement could start with the flu shot, which contains unnecessary and dangerous ingredients such as aluminum and mercury. The flu vaccine is limited and unpredictable in its effectiveness, and the ingredients may be linked to Alzheimer's. Hospital workers are already required to get this vaccination. Before long, all employers could require it as a condition for cheaper insurance or even for keeping your job. I say this is quite a slippery slope that we don't want to go down. Imagine your employer offering you a few thousand dollars to see your results from a home DNA test. Maybe it shows you carry two genes that are among more than a dozen biomarkers for ovarian cancer. Does that mean you're going to get cancer? No, not at all. But now, instead of knowing that a certain percentage of employees carry additional risk for the disease, they know it's you. And we've all heard of the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, HIPAA. That was presented as something that would keep medical records private. It was a gross deception in that it allowed your records to be accessed by as many as 800,000 different parties. But at least it did not include your employer among those with that access. But this new bill is yet another instance of government selling out private citizens to benefit large corporations. And we must stop this in its tracks. Hospitals and medical organizations are supposed to be bound by HIPAA and to keep medical records private. Patient information that is shared is supposed to be stripped of key identifying information. That is known as the safe harbor rule. However, HIPAA and other privacy legislation is riddled with loopholes, so many that it has been estimated, as I just mentioned, a huge number, over 800,000 organizations can access your records. Oh, and here's one big fat loophole. State public health agencies are exempt from that safe harbor rule when they sell private medical records as part of a health database. And when this medical data is cross-referenced with other public information, it can reveal your identity. Well, you're asking who would want this data? Well, the drug industry, for one. Pharmaceutical companies are major buyers of these medical records, and they use them to design ads to doctors and target potential patients. As the public becomes more aware of just how vulnerable electronic medical records are, consumers may be more reluctant to seek medical care. How patient-centered is that? Patients rely on the doctor-patient confidentiality, and this trust is meaningless if one's information is sold to the highest bidder. Here's a case in point. There is a new form of gonorrhea that is resistant to cephalosporin and other antibiotics. This is becoming a serious public health concern and one that requires careful treatment. While young people are the highest risk, they are also the most likely to hesitate to see a doctor particularly for such a personal and potentially humiliating issue, if they fear that their private information will be exposed. I mean, wouldn't you? In addition, electronic medical records can cost taxpayers money, and they often can be hazardous to your health. The digital nature of this data means it's much easier for doctors to overbill, whether by mistake or through fraud. Doctors can claim to provide more services than they actually do. And I witnessed this firsthand as a doctor created a false narrative to bill us for something we didn't even come in for. They can also cut and paste the same examination findings for multiple patients for the sake of expediency. And we've talked about this on previous shows as well. So how dangerous can that be to a person's future diagnostic evaluations if that cut and paste information is not accurate? Well, bottom line, most of the medical industry is stuck in this miasma of messed up medical records, poor security, and legal loopholes that allow patients' private information to be publicly exposed and, frankly, their health to be compromised. So there you have it. Preserving Employee Wellness Programs Act, a happy and positive sounding name, fraught with serious implications. A healthy choice between paying higher premiums or keeping your personal genetic and health information private. How does this sit with you? Well, while it hasn't passed yet, you may want to speak up now or share your genes with a stranger later.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I'd love you to be a part of my world. It's a world filled with amazing people, interesting and engaging ideas, all related to the preservation of this great planet of ours. We interview people from all over the world about topics that I know will interest you, and we educate people in fun, informative ways and inspire them to take small steps so that together we can make a big impact. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com to learn more and become a part of our world.
She is a dear friend of mine with lots to share with you. She even has a book, and you can reach her by phone at 520-230-3977. That's 520-230-3977. Or visit her website, mrsgreensworld.com.
Hi, I'm Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast, where we talk about aging in a different way. We hear from professionals in the field and people like you, unsung heroes caring for family members, friends, and relatives amid the demands of your own life. Join me each week as we laugh, cry, and share. And know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode every week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. That's AgeWYZ.com.
If you or someone you know is in the caregiver role, check out her website and purchase her book. Visit agewise.com, and that's spelled AgeWYZ. Or give her a call, 800-590-2129. That's 800-590-2129.
And now, back to the show.
Well, today I have a special guest for you. Her name is Laura Hawks. She is an author whom I interviewed a few weeks back, and I want to share her with you for many reasons. She's quite a diverse and prolific author, but she's done something that I think is very special, and that is while vacationing in New Orleans, she was struck by the architecture there and actually, over a few years' time, decided to write a book about it because she found that there was a void. There were no other books out there quite like it. And it just made me feel inspired that there are people out there that see a void or see something that's missing or see something that inspires them, and they actually get out there and do something about it. So today I want to share just a bit of an interview with her, and you can find the full interview at speakuptalkradio.com. So today is just a small snippet of it, about 14, 15 minutes of our longer interview. Again, you can find it at speakuptalkradio.com. So here we go. Well, we have quite a prolific author with us right now, and she is ready to share all. She is Laura Hawks. Laura has always been interested in writing in some form or other. Several years ago, she was involved with and then ran a Star Trek interactive writing group, which was successful for a number of years. And yes, she is a Trekker, and she's proud of it. A few years back, she received her master's degree in ancient civilizations, Native American history, and United States history. It was at that time that she got involved in role-playing on Facebook, which gave her ample opportunities to grow and hone her writing ability. Taking the leap forward, she decided to try her hand at writing a novel, and that novel is entitled Demon's Kiss. A sequel to Demon's Kiss, entitled Demon's Dream, is available, as is the third and final portion of the Demon Saga trilogy, and that's called Demon's Web. She has just published the first book in a new series entitled The Spirit Walkers Saga. The first book in that series is Shifter's Hope. And she lives in the suburbs of Chicago with her three companions, all male. Well, don't get excited, folks. They're cats. And she travels as much as she can to various author-reader conventions and loves to meet established fans and make new ones, some of which she considers friends more than fans. And any author with cats is my kind of person. So welcome to the network, Laura.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm excited to talk with you. There's just so many ways we can take this conversation today because you are just such an interesting person and have written so much. But I was very taken, and I didn't mention it at the top, but you have a souvenir book on the balconies of New Orleans. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it's a project that I'd wanted to do for a number of years. Whenever I've gone to New Orleans, I've never actually lived there, but whenever I visited, I've just been so in love with the architecture, and in particular, the beautiful ironwork that is just all around the French Quarter and even beyond, but mostly in the French Quarter. And so I said, you know, if I ever did a book, that was going to be the one. Well, about six books in, I finally sat down, went down to New Orleans, and just took picture after picture after picture. So all the photographs in the book are mine, as well as the background work on the history of ironwork in general, from the very beginning of the Bronze and then Iron Age, and then bringing it right into how it got into New Orleans, who brought it, why, who worked on it, and things like that. And it's very small, it's very thin, it's about 150 photos with the information, but it's a project that I had dear and near to my heart and noticed in all the times that I've been down to New Orleans that there wasn't really a book on the ironwork. And so it was just something that I just had to do, and I'm very proud of it. There are about 13 stores that carry it down in New Orleans. It makes a really nice souvenir book that brings back a lot of memories for people who have visited. And then I also have the National Park System in New Orleans that also has it on consideration as one of their souvenir books as well. So several places to pick it up, as well, of course, as, you know, Amazon or wherever people purchase books in general, but it's nice to walk into a store too and actually see my book on a shelf.
My gosh, I love that story, to be so inspired, because I know how many times you take trips and you see these beautiful sites, and yeah, but to actually take that and make a project of it, and I'm really shocked that you're saying that there were not any other books available. That just seems so surprising, doesn't it?
Not on the ironwork. Yeah. Now, there was a pamphlet that was put out probably about 3 or 4 years ago, but do understand that this dream has been 10 years and more in the running. So the pamphlet came out, it's black and white, and I've never seen it outside of one little store, and that was about two years ago. There was a book done, it was also black and white, it was actually a book, but it was done in like the 1940s, and there wasn't really any history to it. Mine is obviously newer. All the pictures are in color. And, you know, I try and get the majority of what is specifically in the French Quarter, not just in general. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it really surprised me, too, for so many years that there has not been a book similar to this.
Wow, I love that. I was quite taken by it. Yeah, and kind of impressed that you would pick up the ball and do that. And then, just something completely different, we've got you with a Star Trek writing group.
That was something that I was a kid still, just about. I got involved with a Star Trek group, and then they broke off and did a writing group. And I'll tell you how old this is. This was before computers really were taking on. I think AOL had just been the big thing. So what we did was we did it by snail mail, or, you know, the U.S. Postal Service. We would have a captain, and then we would have about 10 or 12 other people, well, no more than 12, so that our group was 12 people, because we had to photocopy everything we typed up and then send it to all 12 different people, and then we would respond the following month. It was a monthly thing. The captain would get theirs out, like, the first of the month, and then ours would be out by the 15th. So that we could, and, you know, just write our stories and continue the adventures where no people have gone before.
So it's amazing how the dark ages weren't that long ago, right?
Yes, I know. It's amazing. We did do a little bit through the computer at the end of the years, but the group was probably around, I mean, I was in charge of the group when we hit our 10, 12 and 15 year anniversaries. And after 15 years, we sort of died out. Just computers took over, lives took over.
Sure.
And I know that there are still some out there, but nothing that I'm involved with. Mm-hmm. And at that point, then I kind of switched gears and to other types of online. Facebook is a big one for online writing groups and role play type of thing.
Right. So. Right. And then that inspired the Demon series, and then after the Demon series, I'm especially fascinated about your series on shifters with Native Americans, and you have spirit guides, which allows you then to include animals to be part of these stories. So take us all through those series.
Yeah. You know, in all honesty, Pat, the bio that you read, which I know is the one that I have up, my first actual book was Shifter's Hope.
Oh, okay.
But it sat on the sideline for probably about 2 years, because after I wrote it, I didn't know what I wanted to do with it, and then I just kind of put it on the side. I hadn't been published yet, and Demon's Kiss actually started out with some friends in my writing group that were already published, and they said, you know, there's a series that's opened up that you need to apply for, because they're looking for stories for an anthology, and I said, well, that's fine. So, and that's how Demon's Kiss actually got pulled out. Well, after the Demon series kind of got going, I kind of pulled Shifters back out of the dust and, you know, scraped it off and blew the dust away and pulled it back out and revamped it a little bit, and then continued, you know, and then got that one published. But my idea for that one is basically all Native Americans have spirit guides. And so whatever the spirit guide is what the Natives will turn into in a particular tribe or for that group. So like, you know, as many reservations or tribes there are of the Lakota, only one of them is a shifter. And I explain this a little bit better in the second book that I have coming out, which will actually be out in a couple of months, Shifter's Pride, as to why this is. But my goal for the series is a little bit of mystery, obviously paranormal, and each one will be a different tribe with a little bit of the cultural and historical aspects for that tribe of wherever they are. Now, Shifter's Hope is Ojibwa, so it takes place in Canada around the Agua Canyon, where the Ojibwa were very popular, and then we call them Chippewa in Canada and actually Ojibwa here in the U.S., and so they were actually one of the largest tribes in the 16, 17, and 1800s. And so I talk a little bit about that history and what their name means and why it's, you know, a little different. And that one hits Agua Canyon, Mackinac Island, Traverse City, comes down into Chicago. We talk a little bit about Fort Dearborn Massacre, and then it ends back up in Canada. And that one in particular is about an Ojibwa who should have been chief, but he kind of gave it away because he was upset in the 1800s. And after his father died and he found out that his wife cheated on him with his brother. And then his brother passed away, and so he was actually accused in current contemporary times. He was actually accused of committing a crime he doesn't remember committing. And with the chief that kind of that he kind of let take over in the 1800s, was still the chief, he condemned him to death for this crime. And they attempted to kill him in the ritualistic way. He somehow escaped. You don't find out till the end, near the end, how. And he kind of stayed hidden while he recouped and didn't really know what to do with himself, didn't really know where to go. And he fell in love with a woman by sight. And so he follows her back to Chicago, hence the little traveling part, and then actually saves her and realizes by doing so that he's put her at risk for the same sentence that he was under. So he tries to clear his name. Mm. Only every time he tries to clear it, he finds out that the people that could possibly do so are turning up dead. And so he ends up going back, and there's this whole big battle with the various animals. But because each person has a different spirit guide, they all turn into whatever their guide is and take on some of those attributes. Mm. So I've got a moose, I've got the bear, I've got raven is a wolf, actually, as well as a raven, hawks. I have a rabbit in that one. I have a squirrel in that one. So, different animals. The second one that I'm doing, which is Shifter's Pride, has a deer in it. So different animals depending on whatever the spirit guide is.
Right. So the first is Shifter's Hope. The new one coming out is Shifter's Pride. And how many books are you planning on this series?
Well, I really don't have a set plan for that series. Probably when I get tired of coming up with stories for them. Yeah. It's really the only one that I'm trying to do a different tribe and different places for each story. They're all standalones, so they will all have their beginning and end, but they're connected because they will be one of the selected tribes that can shift into their animal native spirit guide. They will all be a little bit of a mystery. Shifter's Pride is actually about a serial murderer that starts after World War II and kind of stalks one of the other, the heroine, in following her throughout history. And she doesn't even know it until towards the end when he starts really making his kills a little bit more readily noticeable, and they realize that he's actually been killing for years.
Wow, well, we've danced around and covered a lot of who you are. Well, where can folks go then to learn more about you and to purchase your books?
They can go to the book trailers on YouTube. Just pull up Laura Hawks. I have three of them, Demon's Dream, Shifter's Hope, and The Ghost in the Grimoire. They can purchase me on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Smashwords, Kobo, iTunes, iBooks. I do have The Ghost in the Grimoire is the only one I have currently that is available on Audible and iTunes as well. So I do have the audiobook on that one. And I also have a website that is currently being revamped, but they can see the old one, which is laurahawks.webs, with a plural, .com. And hopefully when I get the new one up, it will just automatically transfer over.
Right, redirect or transfer over. All right, and that's laurahawks.webs with an S, webs.com. laurahawks.webs.com. Laura, this has been fun to explore you. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your background and your bits of advice, too. I think those are going to be well worth it to those listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat. I really appreciate it.
Radio is a wonderful tool. The wisdom we cultivate throughout our lives comes out in our voices and can invigorate and empower listeners. Voices actually have a grand healing function. Sound through media can heal humanity, all life actually. Paradigm Shifters shows includes resonance wizards like Randy Masters, David Eisen, Amrita Cottrell, Jonathan Goldman, and more in their business of tuning you up. meet paradigm shifters on speakuptalkradio.com or veronicaentwistle.com.
She is an intuitive and energy counselor, and she offers private telephone readings to inspire your change, allowing you to fully harness the potential of your inner self. Visit her website, veronicaentwistle.com. Write it down. 510-595-5564. That's 510-595-5564.
This is Susan Marie from The Dougie Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. Please join my canine co-host, the Dougie Diva herself, Miss Olive, and I as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you each week on Speak Up Talk Radio, or please visit us at our website at thedoggiediva.com. Have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's right. If you want to learn more about how to keep your pets safe and happy, tune into my favorite pet show, The Dougie Diva Show, found at our very own speakuptalkradio.com or visit doggydiva.com.
Hot, 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 hot. Bring the heat.
And now, back to the show.
Right now, I'm switching gears from harms to charms. With so much crazy going on in today's world, we need to add self-solutions to help make our lives easier. And I'd like to share just a few minutes of a guest slash author whom I interviewed about his mindful living training. These past weeks, I shared with you on this program some easy, safe, and alternative ways to take care of yourself, your health, and your well-being via essential oils, tapping, forest bathing, and today I'm especially excited to share Tonglen with you. T-O-N-G-L-E-N. It's a meditation practice that allows you to visualize taking in the suffering of oneself, of yourself, or others as you breathe in, and on the out-breath, giving recognition, compassion, and healing back out. I used to do this with my mom, as she often spent time in grave pain and in the hospital and rehab for many years. And I've recently done this with one of my cats when she had a medical issue. And I have to say it helped me, and I do believe it helped them. So enjoy the next few moments as Mark Van Buren shows you how all of it can be used as a way to awaken you to your life while cultivating compassion, peace, and joy. He has a weekly wisdom videos, books, and more at his website, authormarkvanburen.com. Here he is.
Hello and welcome to Weekly Wisdom. My name is Mark Van Buren, and today I'd like to talk about the practice of Tonglen. Tonglen is a Tibetan Buddhist practice that can be done both in seated meditation and out in daily life. And because most of our lives is not in seated meditation, today I'd like to talk more about how to practice Tonglen in daily life. Tonglen is a practice of sending and receiving. So what is it that we're receiving? We're receiving the suffering of all people or of the person that we're seeing in daily life. And then what are we sending? We're sending out relief to that suffering. So for example, if you have a family member who's ill and you're going to visit them, a great practice you can do is this sending and receiving. So what do? So as you're sitting there, you can imagine yourself breathing in their suffering. So all the suffering of the illness, imagine yourself breathing it in through your nose, right into your heart, and then imagine it being transformed and you send them out relief. So it's something that you can do anywhere and everywhere with any situation, anything that makes you uncomfortable, you breathe in the discomfort of that. And you can imagine that you're breathing in the discomfort of all people. So if you have anxiety or depression and you're feeling it fully one day, you can breathe in everybody's anxiety and depression. And it's as if that when you breathe in, you're stealing that suffering from them. You're taking that suffering from them, and then you're sending out relief from that suffering. So it's a great practice, and it has two aspects of it. One, we're training ourselves to pull in suffering, to get used to being uncomfortable and to get used to suffering, which is something that's very unordinary compared to what we normally do, which is try to escape it, try to run away from it. So we're breathing in suffering, we're cultivating fearlessness, we're saying, hey, I feel this way, and I know a lot of other people feel this way, so I'm gonna breathe it in, I'm gonna take it away from everyone and feel it fully. It's almost as if by you feeling it, you're freeing everybody else from it. And then again, you're cultivating the compassion, that's the other aspect of it, by sending out relief. And you're not only thinking of yourself, you're thinking of all people experiencing whatever you're experiencing. Again, it could be a sick loved one, it can be anxiety. Any problem in life can be used with this practice. And again, you're taking in the suffering, you're sending out relief. Now, you can also use this on the other end of the spectrum. If things are going very well, if you're feeling healthy, if you're super happy or joyful one day, you can breathe in the joy and then send it out with the hopes that all beings can feel this. So it's just this practice of sharing and of taking and of sending and receiving. It can be done anytime, anywhere. It's so practical too, and especially when you're dealing with someone who's sick or someone who's suffering and you feel like you really can't help them. You feel like maybe they're not taking your advice, or obviously an illness, there's not much you can do about that. So what can you do is this practice of Tonglen. You know, and whether or not it affects the person is not as important for how it affects your mind and what you're cultivating. Is it possible that you can breathe someone's suffering away? Possibly, just like it's possible that prayers can affect an outcome of a patient. But what's more important is that you're cultivating a peaceful mind that's not afraid of suffering, that's not afraid to help others that are suffering, and that's not afraid to share joy, to share happiness, to share peace. And of course, you're cultivating compassion for other people by sending them relief. So it's a really great practice that you can apply anytime, anywhere. So anytime this week, when you notice that you're feeling good, when you're having a good day, think about all the people that might not be having a good day and send them that happiness, send them that joy. And on the other end of the spectrum, anytime this week where you're going through a difficulty or you're experiencing something painful or traumatic, see if you can breathe that trauma in, breathe that difficulty in, and send out relief to all other people experiencing the same thing. Thank you all for watching today. Have a wonderful week. Namaste.
How interesting was that? Tonglen can be done for those who are ill, those who are dying or have just died, or for those who are in any kind of pain. It can be done either as a formal meditation practice or right on the spot at any time. For example, if you are out walking and you see someone in pain, right on the spot, you can begin to breathe in their pain and send out some relief. Or, more likely, you might see someone in pain and look away because it brings up your fear or anger. It brings up your resistance and confusion. So on the spot, you can do Tonglen for all the people who are just like you, for everyone who wishes to be compassionate but instead is afraid, for everyone who wishes to be brave but instead is a coward. And I think we've all experienced that. So this week, let us try to breathe in for all of us and breathe out for all of us. Think of it as a medicine with no bad side effects. And speaking of medicine with no bad side effects, I have a private boutique line of organic essential oils that assist with all types of health issues. It's found at tinydropseo.com. Tinydropseo.com. The E stands for essential. The O stands for oil. Tinydropseo.com. Essential oils are increasingly being used in hospitals throughout the country to alleviate pain, stress, nausea, to induce sleep and healing. Now, we offer only 8 of the hundreds of possible essential oils, as I wanted to concentrate on those few that really do the most and the best without having you feeling burdened with too many choices. I know if you're like me, often when we have too many choices, we make none. Well, I have a surprise to make it even easier now. Instead of mixing your own to create positive outcomes, again, something that many people are hesitant to do, we've done the blending for you in the form of roller balls. Now, when you have an issue, you simply grab your roller ball and roll on the affected area, kind of like a miniature roll-on deodorant, only there's nothing bad in it. It's a 10 milliliter glass bottle with a roller ball on the top that keeps the oil from escaping unless and until you take the cap off and apply. Rollerballs, they're portable relief, anytime, anywhere, no mess. Made with 100% organic, pure essential oils and sweet almond oil. Each bottle is $10 each. That's a lot of relief for not a lot of money. And again, you can find them at tinydropseo.com. And I want to highlight some of the mighty blends we have for you. We have something called Bliss. Fill your soul with joy and happiness. Lift your mood and realize that you are amazing. Roll and massage on the bottoms of your feet, the back of your neck or hair for a quick pick-me-up. It's a blissful blend of lemongrass and sweet orange. I love that one. Now it's the season for bugs. We have something called Bye Bug. No need to swat, scream, and run. Keep those critters from landing on you as you calmly enjoy your day. It's a bugger of a blend of lemongrass and lavender oil, and there's no DEET or anything harmful or nasty in it. We have something called Chill for all of those stressful moments in your life. Another one called Face It. Put your best face forward with this skin-friendly, wrinkle-reducing, blemish-fighting trio. Another one called Focus. It's a snappy combo of sweet orange and peppermint oil. Hangover? Too much tequila and not enough time to recover? Roll this one on the bottoms of your feet, your wrists, and your tummy. It's a no-shame blend of lemongrass, peppermint, and sweet orange. We have something called Happy Happy Joy Joy. And I tell the story, one of my girls scratched this on my brand new car when they were little. Came out to my car and there it said, scratched on the brand new paint job. It said, Happy Happy Joy Joy. Oh, boy, did I need this rollerball back then. It's a high-spirited blend of peppermint, sweet orange, and clove. We have Headache Free. Roll this on your forehead, your temples, and the base of your neck, bottoms of your feet. It's a potent combination of peppermint, lavender, and frankincense to get rid of headaches. Another one called Inhale for stuffy noses. Melt for anxiety. No Nausea for soothing that upset stomach. Another one, a real popular one called Snooze. Slip into sleep and forget counting sheep. Turn off your cell phone, pull the shades, and roll this blend on the bottoms of your feet, your wrists, temples, and your upper lip. Stash it under your pillow and use it right before you drift off. It's a sleep-inducing blend of lavender and frankincense. We have another one I love. It's called Speak Up. It's an empowering blend to bring out your moxie. Roll this on your wrist, take a whiff, and then ask for a raise. Ask for a date or jump on stage for that solo performance. Use it whenever you want an extra touch of confidence. It's a proprietary blend of clove bud and peppermint oil. So to soothe whatever ails you, head over to tinydropseo.com and get yourself some rollerballs. Portable relief, anytime, anywhere. Made with 100% organic, pure essential oils and sweet almond oil. Visit tinydropseo.com. Time always goes by so quickly when we're together. But the good news is, I'll be back next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. Until we meet again, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.